For these are all our children. We will all profit from or pay for what they become. James Baldwin. Author's note. This is a work of nonfiction. No facts have been altered, and no names have been changed. 10 of the children are identified by their nicknames, and several of the adults by their street names. I witnessed most of the scenes I describe in this book. My reporting also draws from thousands of records, hundreds of interviews, and many hours of video and audio recordings. For more detail, please see the afterword and notes. Prologue. October 6, 2015. First they came for Papa. The 8-year-old boy asked no questions. He knew to be quiet in the presence of strangers. 2 women led him into a silver van. Papa looked out the window as the ignition started. There was his school, a rectangle of brick that got smaller and smaller as the van pulled away. 11 miles south, another van collected Papa's brother from his school and 4 sisters from their schools, delivering all 6 siblings to the same place, the Staten Island office of New York City's Child Protection Agency. Only the youngest child remained. The van turned east, heading up Laurel Avenue toward a white clapboard duplex with a boarded-up window. There on the sidewalk stood baby Lily with her father. The toddler hid behind his legs. As the van slowed to a halt, the father wiped his face. His daughter was too little to understand what was happening, that the people in the van were child protection workers, that the court had ordered them to take Lily and her siblings away, that the parents were being accused of neglect, that they had neglected, among other things, the condition of their home. A moment passed. The van door opened. A caseworker stepped onto the sidewalk and paused. The father gathered Lily up and placed her in the van, promising to come for her tomorrow. That evening, the siblings were transferred to a child protection facility in Lower Manhattan, formerly the site of the Bellevue Hospital morgue. They stepped through a metal detector, trading their street clothes for matching maroon jumpsuits. Their father's words kept ringing, "Whatever happens, stay together." This much they had tried for all of their short lives. 8 children, 16 hands clasped into one chain. Like this, they had dashed across the highway or played ring around the rosy, lifting up and crashing down while never letting go. They had learned this from their parents, who had learned it from their parents. Now the chain was breaking. The strongest link was already gone. Her name was Dasani. Part 1. A House Is Not a Home, 2012 to 2013. Chapter 1. She wakes to the sound of breathing. The smaller children lie tangled under coats and wool blankets, their chests rising and falling in the dark. They have yet to stir. Their sister is always first. She looks around the room, seeing only silhouettes, the faint trace of a chin or brow lit from the street below. Mice scurry across the floor. Roaches crawl to the ceiling. A little sink drips and drips, sprouting mold from a rusted pipe. A few feet away is the yellow mop bucket they use as a toilet, and the mattress where the mother and father sleep clutched. Radiating out from them in all directions are the 8 children they share. 2 boys and 5 girls, whose beds zigzag around the baby, her crib warmed by a hairdryer perched on a milk crate. They have learned to sleep through anything. They snore with the pull of asthma near a gash in the wall spewing sawdust. They cough or sometimes mutter in the throes of a dream. Only their sister Dasani is awake.